fourth and final hour. Daily Keith, Chris Filani, Steve D'Ossi, and Field Yates along with you. Our conversation with Michael Irvin is brought to you by the VA New England Healthcare System, serving those who served. Michael, it's Chris, Steve, and Field here in Boston. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing well, man. But wow, what a difference a year makes, huh? Is that not incredible? Just hearing that sound bite, and I've heard it, of course, from Tom Brady and everything, and everybody's kind of probably talked about it and kind of interested in what the locals think about that. You know, last year, it was everybody's on a hand and a knee. Everybody's begging, please, Tom, please come back. People saying, I'm going to get some time away and contemplate things. Even Gronk said, you know, I don't know. I'm going to get some time away and contemplate things. Now, this year, oh, God, yeah, we're in. We're playing. We're definitely planning on playing. I mean, it's just amazing in this league how things change week to week and certainly year to year.
Well, week to week, and you look at this past week against Buffalo, a win for the Patriots, but you know, Rodney Harrison said after the game he's never seen Tom Brady look like that. The passing game was ineffective. They ran the ball. How much of that, from your vantage point, was there were some concerns with this Patriots passing attack, and how much of it was, hey, they could run the ball against the Bills, so they just figured they would?
Well, you listen, you in this league, especially what you've seen in the AFC, at least early on in the AFC, and the kind of points that they put up, that's why they went out and took the chance on getting Josh Gordon, because they knew they were going to need more weapons and more power in the passing game. So now you're winning out of that's what the defense gave us. That's what we were able to do. And obviously, you know, throwing 120-some yards for Tom Brady at one touchdown, it's just not what you're used to seeing. And I hear people all week talking about, well, I don't know, look at it, look at the guys he has, look at the talent he has, does not have that wide receiver. But that's what we've given him credit for all of these years, winning as the turnover in the receiver position, at the receiver position changed, the results did not change. And now we're kind of flipping that, saying, well, I don't know what he has around him. And I just find it all interesting. I really, it blows my mind to see how things play out. And yeah, not just last year, last week, Buffalo, a week before that, I watched the Steelers out-Patriots the Patriots. They spread the Patriots out. That's what the Patriots did to the Steelers for years, mm-hmm, and beat them. They spread them out and cut them up. And now the Steelers say, okay, you don't have that ability to do that anymore, but we have the ability to do it to you with the development of Juju Smith-Schuster and the young Washington kid. It's hard to watch.
Based off what we've seen and based off what they have, Michael, can the Patriots make a deep run in the postseason that is led by their offense this year?
The one thing that we have, seriously, I think everybody has seen this year in the NFL, and I think more so than I've seen, I don't know, in the last 20 years, anybody can win the Super Bowl this year. Anybody. It's wide open. All of those teams that are in the playoff, it's wide open, because the cross-pollinization, the cross-ability, you know, it's about matchups. You already watched New England beat Kansas City. Anybody can win the Super Bowl, and I think that's good for the fans.
Have you seen it before when you talk about the parity in the league? This is pretty much what the league wants. They want as many cities involved in the playoff hunt in week 17 of the season. I don't recall seeing this for a while.
I mean, neither, Steve. I said 20 years. I don't recall seeing it probably ever like this, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Like this. This is amazing. And it is. It's a hell of an excitement about it. Any one of these wild card teams can end up winning a Super Bowl. You know, so the teams that are playing next week can possibly go all the way. And it is. It's exciting. So each game, and then we're not in basketball. We're at the best 4 out of 7. We get one shot, and that's what makes it so great. With that kind of parity, you get one shot. Everybody will be tuning in to these playoff games because of that. Because nobody's going to say, well, I'm not even watching that. We know who's going to win that. You don't know who's going to win it. That's why you're going to watch it.
Picking up on that parity point, is there a team that's going to be playing on Wild Card Weekend that might sneak in as a 5 or a 6 seed in particular that you look at and say, man, if I'm one of the top teams, I want no part of them in the playoffs?
Well, you hear people talking about that with the Ravens because, man, listen, let me tell you something. I was there a couple Thursdays ago when they played San Diego, and I was like, San Diego, how long am I going to say that? How long am I going to say San Diego?
I'm still doing it, too.
I was there with, everybody's still doing it. So San Diego got out of San Diego because they thought they were not getting enough support and everything, and nobody can forget and stop saying San Diego. Obviously, it stayed the brain. But I watched those Ravens play the Chargers a couple of weeks ago. I was at that Thursday night game, and I was like, whoa. You know, for so long, we kept talking about no way you can win without being able to throw the ball. But the Ravens have proven that not to be the reality. Sometimes, going back to the basics, when everybody is out in this world of instant big plays, instant growth, Instagram, they're going back to the basics. Going back to the basics will get you where you need to be. I think that's a fascinating story. And I think Marty Morningwick is doing a good job of just giving the young kid over there just a little bit more each week in the passing game, the young Lamar Jackson.
So we've established that the NFL is wide open this year. We've established the Ravens could be that team that sneaks up on people. But who enters the NFL playoffs, in your mind, as the favorite to win the Super Bowl?
And that's a hard call. That's a hard call.
Would it be the Saints because of their record and their balance?
Right. Well, what we've seen, though, we've seen a matchup. Like, okay, if you say, let's say, you know, everybody wants to say you want to say Kansas City because you've seen the power of that offense. But you can't say that because New England's already beat them. You've already beat them. So then you say, okay, can we say New England? Well, we're talking about that right now. You're saying, and I was on Showtime last week on Inside the NFL, and they asked, is this team the worst team that you've ever seen New England? I said, well, I won't say it's a horrible team or worst team because, you know, they're going to have the first or second seed. But I will say this, if Bill Belichick wins a Super Bowl this year, it's one of his greatest jobs.
Is that simply because the rest of the league, or is it because his talent level isn't on par with some of the other teams?
Well, because of some of the things that you have to overcome, and because of the rest of the league. You know what I mean? And because of the rest of the league, the explosiveness of what you have around, the different types of offense, different types of teams that you have to prepare for. If you have to prepare for the Chargers, look what you got. You know, strong running game and Phillip Rivers. And then you may have to leave them and get prepared for the Kansas City Chiefs, a very explosive offense. You know, okay, then you got to go that and go all the way back to the basics and get prepared for the Ravens, who's going to play basic football, tough defense, and just run the football. It's all over the map. That means week to week, there's not much carryover. So week to week, I got to put in a whole new game plan and teach a whole new thing because I'm attacking a whole new people with a whole new way. It's a fascinating, fascinating landscape.
You know, as we talk about the parity here and we're speaking with Michael Irvin and what the Patriots can possibly do in the postseason, one thing they haven't been able to do in the regular season is win on the road. They're 3-5 away from Gillette. Now, they're going to play at least one playoff game at home, likely the 2 seed after a bye. But if it comes down to it, if this team has to go out to Arrowhead in an AFC championship game, how do they match up? How can they sort of flip the script from what they have not been able to do in the regular season in terms of winning consistently and playing well consistently on the road?
I think New England can go on the road and play in Arrowhead. You know, I watched those Ravens go in there and almost beat them. But they played with great defense. I just feel that. You know, it's not like the weather is going to be a problem. It's not like the noise, which is always an issue, but Tom Brady's been so long, been there so long, he knows how to handle all of that. And that's what makes it fascinating. And I'm going to tell you guys this. I always tell people, and spiritually in the Bible, or in service, or when I'm talking to my spiritual father, Bishop Jakes, he always says, son, whenever you take on a new level, expect new devils. That means whenever you step up in anything, there are going to be new challenges that you have to face. And Patrick Mahomes and guys, he hadn't seen the playoffs. He hasn't seen the playoffs like this. And when you step to that new level, there's going to be new challenges and new things that he has to deal with. Just like when he came to Foxborough, and that was a step up. You look across the field and see Tom Brady and have to match that guy. Now you're going to have to match him in the playoffs. I really believe that they can go to Arrowhead and win that football game. Now, saying you believe it and doing it, totally two different things, buddy. You got to go up there and do it because they will be hyped, and that crowd will be so into that game that it's going to be incredible to watch.
All right, Michael, I got your chance right here. How do your Cowboys look going into the playoffs?
Well, the Cowboys, and this is what my concern has always been, and it's the same thing I saw against Indy, and even some to the degree last week. You know, the defense is in a good place, but they have to get more consistent with that offense. You have to get more consistent with that offense. I mean, and it's all over the places. One week they look pretty good, and then and Amari Cooper was coming around, and he had a 6-game stretch in there where he was number one across the board at receivers in those 6 games, and then the last couple games, they kind of taking him away, and it's not like they're dominating in the run game. And a lot of that is because they're shuffling in and out of some of the linemen. So I'm concerned, and I'm concerned with how they will handle this meaningless game. You know, this meaningless game, and where everybody starts talking all week about, well, the guys aren't going to play. And Steve, you know what that brings about? That brings about a relaxing of the mind. So it's not just the Sunday that you have off. You really take off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and you lose a week. And you were not good enough to lose a week. So you know, somehow Coach Garrett has to tell them, we're going to play. We're going to play. We're going to play. And actually prepare them to play. And then, at the last minute, say, come on, sit your butt down over here by me. I'm just telling you that so I can get Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in good work. But I am concerned about that.
Michael Irvin, we mentioned one of your former teams. I maybe should have asked this right off the top, but are you fully recovered emotionally from what happened at Yankee Stadium yesterday afternoon?
I saw your AD came out with some pretty strong words after it.
Yeah, and that's not good, man. And I tell you what's funny. You know, I know it's him when he's calling because it's the only one that calls, the only person that calls me that with no call ID. But soon as when the game's going, I'm looking out at my phone and it's no call ID. Bring, bring, bring. I just kind of kick the phone to the right. I'm not answering that right now. I know it's Troy Vincent. I know it's
Troy. Of course.
Vincent. Right. So I finally answer the phone. I say, Troy, I see the game, man. Can you let me have this misery without you badgering me right now? You know? He's like, hey, listen, I'm calling you. I'm calling Sap. I'm trying to. Nobody wants to answer the phone right now. And then I'm watching it. And at the end, they had 3 seconds left. You're up 28-3, and you go and score another touchdown. I said, oh, my God. Now, when Miami did that, they would crucify us. They used to crucify us. Hang us high and stretch us wide when we did stuff like that. But nobody will talk about Wisconsin doing that to Miami, only when Miami was able to do that to someone else. So it was hard to watch.
They're a nice Midwestern team. You guys were the evil you. That's why. That was the difference.
That's exactly what it is.
Yep.
Oh, those are good old good Midwestern team, those good boys right
nice
there.
People, good
you
people.
You guys over there, you're the villains.
Yep.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that kind of stuff. Right. So, you know, it kind of goes with the territory. This team, these guys, they didn't do that. But they're still paying for the stuff that we did.
Good point.
They're still paying for it.
Michael Irvin, appreciate the time. Happy New Year, and enjoy the slated games coming up in Week 17.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good thing now. This thing went by so fast. It's mind-blowing. Did it not go by fast to
it
you
did.
Guys?
Very fast.
Yep.
Can't believe it.
It flies by. The whole year has gone by. We're about to hit 219. So say that. Happy New Year to everybody. And as you said to me, so I should say to you, enjoy this last week, and then let's really enjoy those playoffs.
We will indeed. Happy New Year, Michael. Thanks for taking the time.
All right, guys. All right, see.
All right, see, bud.
Hey, I didn't want to make him feel old there, but not only are they paying for these are guys that weren't alive when he was doing the when they
point.
Were doing those things in Miami.
That's a good point.
They were not even close
still
to being alive.
Still having to struggle with the reputation.
They exactly. Some things die hard. He also said Troy Vincent was badgering him, which is maybe an unfortunate choice of words or a clever pun.
Very clever.
Not sure which way he was going with that. All right, we got another half hour to go. We'll get to more of your phone calls at 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe. We got Chris Vellante, Steve D'Ossi, Field Yates with you. Sports Radio WEEI.
Nonstop wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Well, there are a lot of there've been some exciting bowl games, let's say, throughout bowl season. But Michael Irvin's Miami Hurricanes did not provide one of them yesterday. That was a beatdown at the hands of the Wisconsin Badgers and their star running back. But seems like he took it in good spirits. Steve D'Ossi's in the house, Field Yates as well. Chris Vellante with you. We've got Tom Brady, who's going to be approaching the podium here momentarily. So we'll bring you that when, in fact, the quarterback does speak. We've been talking about him quite a bit and some of the speculation surrounding his health, that knee, just how strong it is going into Week 17 against the Jets. In the meantime, we'll go back to the calls at 617-779-7937. Jim in Newburyport's up next. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Steve, you're right about this nonsense about, you know, Belichick's ego. If you got an ego, you go out and win. Stick that in your ear. You know, it's not like you have the record for climbing Mount Everest and you say, next time I'm going to do it with no shoes on. You know, you go out and you win. You get another one. And, you know, as far as the draft picks are concerned, if you're worried about your older quarterback getting taken down, if you're on defense, I haven't played offensive line, I haven't played defense, and I haven't played at that level. But to take relief off your quarterback, what do? You develop a run game, and you draft a lineman, too. So
yeah,
if you don't want his head taken off, you make things go easy so that the defense doesn't pin their ears back and go after him all the time.
And
plenty of opportunities to point out where Belichick went wrong, but you can't deny his ability and his desire to win championships.
All right, his quarterback Tom Brady stepping to the podium now in Foxborough.
How important would that be for the Patriots to get that?
Yeah, I think, you know, just playing well this week's been the focus, and anything beyond that, you know, we haven't even talked about, and for good reason. I always say it's tough to win a game, and this is a tough one, and, you know, we got to focus on this 100%, which we have, and just be prepared to go out and play our best. And I think, you know, a good 60-minute game is still out there for us, and that's what we're working to do, and it's be a good time to do it.
Is there a level of, I guess, frustration is not the right word, because you're in a good position, but you haven't necessarily put together the full 60 that you want?
I think it's out there for us, and I think it's a great opportunity for us. So, been working and building and trying to get there, and it's been a lot of moving parts all year. It's just part of football season. It's like that for us, like that for everybody. But, you know, competing for all 16 weeks is what it's all about, and we're at week 16, and we got to finish strong.
Tom, earlier this week, you said on the radio that you plan on playing next year, which didn't really come as a shock to anybody, but could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, I don't want to elaborate much. I mean, it's, this week's the one that matters, and so we got to take care of business this week.
Rob spoke yesterday about dealing with some of the different mental challenges that he's dealt with this year, whether it's coming back from injury or just
being sort of up and down. He called it a roller coaster.
Yep.
A few times just this year in general for him.
Yep.
How have you noticed him handle some of those challenges? And I guess, have you tried to help him in any way in terms of dealing with some of that stuff?
Yeah, he handles, you know, he handles it well. And I think for all of us, you know, over the course of 16 weeks, you know, it's not all going to be perfect. I mean, it very rarely goes, you know, you just breeze through. It's a challenging, tough grind. And mentally, emotionally, you have to be in a good place. And, you know, Gronk's fought hard. He's been available a lot. And, you know, I think we're all looking forward to this week.
Is there a stat in terms of evaluating quarterback play you pay attention to more than any other?
Really? I'm not a big stat guy. I mean, the wins.
Right. I was going to actually, you know. Yeah.
Wins is the one. I mean, that's what we're here for. So there's a lot of ways you can evaluate stats and so forth. And winning the games, what's most important.
Completion percentage ever been a big one for you?
You know, I think just making the right plays with, you know, I think your focus as a quarterback is just making the right play, whatever it's there. You could throw a ball away instead of taking a sack, and it looks like you have low completion percentage, but you're making a good play for the team. So I just have to make good plays for the team, and that part of it's just good, solid football and making good decisions, throwing to the guys who are open. And, you know, sometimes ending a drive with a punt is not a bad thing when you consider a lot of other factors. It's just that's part of football, making good decisions.
And one more quick one on that. Touchdown to interception ratio probably is a big one. If anyone means more to you, I would anticipate that would be a significant one, keeping the interceptions down and production plays up.
Yeah, I think, you know, the ratio is not a big deal to me as the interceptions, because I think the turnovers are what hurt you. And if you turn the ball over, you're not giving yourself an opportunity to score. I mean, whether you throw it in from the one or hand it off on the one, you know, touchdown's a touchdown. But, you know, interceptions are tough to overcome if you're, you know, giving the defense a lot of chances to score more points.
Were you at all frustrated with some of the criticism of the passing offense last week? Because in the past, it was more the day that the running game shined, 275-yard rushing, like you just said. You know, if you're winning, if one thing's working, there's no need to do the other thing.
Yeah, and I just think when you look at it, you know, you're trying to be, you know, if you look at each play differently, and at the same time, they're all individual plays, and it just comes down to good execution. So if you throw it five times in a game, you'd love to have five well-executed pass plays. If you throw it 50 times, which we've done, you'd like to have 50 of those, and the games are going to take different shape and so forth. But, you know, it really comes down to execution, the run game and the pass game, and them complementing each other, so it makes it difficult to defend.
Ben Watson announced that he's going to be retiring at the end of the season. What do you remember from playing with Ben, and are you kind of impressed that he's been able to be so productive for such a long time?
I mean, Ben's been a great friend for a long time and an incredible career. And, you know, he's certainly be missed. He had a great impact on this team and every team he played for because of the person he is. And he's just a great man, great father, great husband, great player, great teammate. You know, we'll always be in touch. So wish him nothing but the very best.
Tom,
two final questions.
Do you feel that playing in Foxborough at Gillette gives you or the team any kind of an edge?
You know, I think if we play well, you know, I think the crowd's into it. But I think the one positive I see from being here is, you know, we practice in the elements all the time. You know, and I think we're so used to playing in this climate with the ever-changing weather conditions that we have, and just understanding how it works in our stadium. And, you know, I think those things end up being a benefit if we use them the right way. So, you know, we love playing here. We've done a great job here. Communication certainly better at home, which helps. But, you know, going out and executing in whatever conditions, you know, hopefully we handle them better than our opponents.
What are some of the unique challenges of facing a team that comes here under these circumstances that kind of has nothing to lose? They can throw anything and everything at you. Yeah. And you faced this sort of scenario before.
Yeah, definitely. And they're, you know, we're prepared for, we talked about all those things. We've prepared for all those things. We played this team a lot, and they defend us a little differently each time that they play us. They've got good players. They got a good scheme. They have a lot of defense. They have a lot of calls. They're well coached. And they kind of pick what they want to do. And, you know, I'm sure they'll be aggressive. And, you know, we got to be able to counter that. And we ultimately, whether they're you know, playing more man than zone or blitzing or not blitzing or how they're blitzing or where they're blitzing from. You know, we got to be, you know, prepared for all of it. And, you know, hopefully we are. So thank you guys. Have a good week.
Tom Brady from the podium in Gillette. Any big takeaways from that? A lot of bombshells obviously dropped there by Brady over the last 10 minutes.
You know something? You know, Michael Irvin was on with us just before this, and he said, you know, the season's gone by fast, and it's mm-hmm. a good thing, right? We're ready to go on to 2019. You know, I think the reality is for the players, too, is, like, not that they don't want to be doing what they are doing, but we're all ready to buckle up the chin strap on Sunday and just play this game, right? The Patriots are in the playoffs, and they understand the goal that is ahead. They're treating this like a playoff game, but no surprise to not hear anything earth-shattering there from Brady. Wash, rinse, repeat for 17 weeks. You're bound to be asked a lot of the same questions over and over again.
True, and you've been in this situation, albeit probably with, you know, maybe a better standing going into the playoffs, but you've been in this situation so many times. There's very little that new that he's going to say about the position that they're in, other than, okay, you know, if he was straightforward about it, he'd say, you know, yeah, we've been in better positions before, but, you know, who knows, we can make things happen, let's get after it, blah, 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 blah. But he's not going to say anything like that. But again, if there's anybody more comfortable in this scenario, you can't tell me who it is.
My big takeaway is somebody is doing, and I didn't recognize the voice, maybe one of you guys did, somebody's doing a feature on quarterback stats or a sidebar.
I think that was Trags, Mike Petralia.
Was that Trags?
Yeah, something like Petralia.
That was my takeaway.
Yeah. He's got something coming out about
yeah. Most important stat, because he asked three questions about it. So it was just a very specific, it seems like there's some sort of feature, story, whatever, on...
Well, you know, here's what I would say, what's interesting.
Most important quarterback stats.
Not to tangent or get off track from the Patriots and Tom Brady specific conversation, but I think it's a fascinating time right now, what I would call the information era, because we have more information and data and resources available now than we have ever had before when it comes to analyzing Agreed. Sports and players. And I think with that comes a lot of good. I think there's also a bit of a hazard involved with that as well. And this is not to specifically note certain stats or certain services, but I think that because we have all this information, we find ourselves more prone to speak authoritatively. This guy is, you know, better than that guy,
of
or
course.
Is ranked this high. There's so much context that goes into every single play and every single player that it's hard for us to evaluate. So we may be sitting here saying to ourselves, you know, Brady stinks this year compared to other years.
Right.
Or, hey, Brady isn't as bad as the numbers say he might be. But the reality is, like, you have to ask the Patriots, like, the people that know what he's supposed to be doing, know what may have gone amiss, mm-hmm. know what may have gone right when it wasn't supposed to go right, various ways to sort of contextualize how each player is playing, because... Like, I don't know what the stats are, but if you ask me my opinion of the five best Patriots players this year in terms of overall performance, my number one answer would be Stephon Gilmore. My number two answer would be Lawrence Guy. My number three answer might be the offensive line collectively. But, like, I don't have the stats. James White would be, you know, right up there as well. Yeah.
Right.
So, but I don't have it. And probably Brady, like, for five, you know, because he plays the most important mission. But, or probably maybe Edelman. So my point is that, like, you know, sometimes, you know, there are probably numbers to back up a lot of what I'm saying. I think some of it is still, like, is what you see, right?
Right.
So there's always this fine line. I understand where Trax is probably going with Brady, but I think Brady, you know, I think he did a good job of pointing out how sometimes, like, hey, if you have the football at the 1 yard line, is it more, you know, you get a passing touchdown. Is that a better play by him than handing the football off to Sony Michel for a 1 yard touchdown? Like, the result's the same.
Yeah, and a lot of stats guys will scoff at someone when they say, or dismiss someone, they say the eye test. And the same thing, the guys that say, I'm just giving it the eye test, they'll scoff at some of the stat guys. But the truth is somewhere in the middle. You can absolutely look at Brady this year and say that he doesn't look as good as previous years, but then you look at his numbers are pretty close to last year's, pretty close, not substantially to the point where you can sit here and say Brady stinks, not by any means. The eye test is that the passing game doesn't look as good as it was last year. The numbers are close, but it's still not what it was.
All right, coming up at 2 o'clock, we got Mark James and John Tomasi, one of those guys stat-driven, the other, probably a little more eye test. We'll wrap things up and hand it off to them coming up next.
We return. return to a Falls Count Anywhere Friday with Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
All right, we're about to make way for John Tomasi and Mark James, who are coming in. You guys got big New Year's plans?
What you going on? I got to work.
Field Yates is working.
Yeah.
That's not all exciting.
Yeah. No. Anything good going on New Year's Day, New Year's Eve?
Here's what I can say is that, you know, the NFL coaching cycle tends to spin right at the end of the season.
Right.
So it ends up being a very busy New Year's Eve and New Year's Eve. Remember last year, teams, you know, normally they wait, and Monday morning you wake up and you've got press releases left and right. Coaches getting fired.
Yep.
Last year, teams just fired coaches after the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
So.
And there's a scramble for the hot new up and coming coordinator or whomever. So
who's the next Sean McVay or Matt Nagy? We'll find out.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. What about you, Steve? Anything good?
Nah, just get down to the steakhouse maybe kick back and, you know, that's about it. Nothing crazy. I'm well past my New Year's Eve crazy nights, you know.
Nothing wrong with the low key time to time.
I still got mental scars from many, many New Year's Eves up until a certain age. So.
Fair enough. Yep. Well, pleasure working with both you guys.
Thank you, guys.
Good time.
Good show. Thank you very much.
Steve Diossi, Field Yates. I'm Chris Villani. Coming up next, it's OMF, but we've got John Tomasi and Mark James in this afternoon. So keep it here. Great job by Chris Scheim producing all afternoon. And thanks to Daron Harmon and Michael Irvin for hopping on with us as well. OMF with Tomasi and James up next.